Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. It's good to see you as we've gathered on the Lord's Day to worship Him. Thanks for being here and bringing the spirit of worship and those wonderful smiles that's on your face. Don't they look good this morning? Look at your neighbor and say, you're looking good. I tell you, it's good to be here. Let's look at a few announcements before we begin worship. All of them are listed here. Sunday, February 18th, Ladies Auxiliary Meeting. That's today at 4. Mondays, 9 to 12, Ladies Auxiliary Quilt Project to support the veterans. February the 20th, the Deacons Meeting. It's Tuesday night. 6:30 p.m. February the 21st, Wednesday this week, choir practice. Thursday, February 22nd, 10 a.m. Bible study. See the note there to the church boards for the nominees. Get those ready for the spring meeting. And Miss Donna, see her if you need to book the facility here for anything, any event. Do we have any other announcements?
Judge, I want to thank you guys for volunteering yesterday at the soup kitchen. We served a little over 100 people. Probably had the best shrimp stew in the county going yesterday. So not sure that might not go well in the Grape household, but we thought so. We had critical acclaim for sure from the best critics we had for sure. So also kind of low there, we're going to get a list from Jim and probably put it in the bulletin to see if we can get some items donated for them as well.
So thanks for all you guys that showed up at the kitchen. We had a good time and we cooked hard as we could cook and they eat everything we put out there. But it was a blessing, and that's true. We did have the best shrimp stew in the county. It just went fast.
For y'all that don't understand that, we showed up and Harry's bringing on us that we're going to do a shrimp stew, and he looked at me and he goes, you know how to cook one? I said, well, I've seen one cooked a billion times, but I've never actually cooked one. But Linda cooked one yesterday. They were good. I even tasted them.
I'll eat it. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, we'll get a list together so we can all be opportunity to help gather some items for the soup kitchen, carry on the ministry that Jesus talked about. He said, when you've done it to the least of these, the brethren, it's just like you've done it to me. And that's certainly what we want to do, just what Jesus would do if he were here. Do we have any other announcements? Stand together then. Let's begin worship with our call to worship. Let's read together. Look in your bulletin. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name.
For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Father God, we're here today for one thing and one thing only, and that is to lift up the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name. And we just thank you that we can be here this morning, and we pray that as we praise you and as we look to you and exalt your name, that Jesus would be magnified, that you would anoint us with your presence, that we can be the people you created us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all turn to 571 in our hymnals. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 5 of Trust and Obey.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. Jennifer McLaughlin has our scriptures this morning.
Our Old Testament reading is Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made the rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The New Testament reading is Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
continue to worship as we pray, or are there any needs you need to remember this morning?
Chandler Johnson,
okay.
Marie Smith.
Okay. Marie Smith.
Loretta Morgan.
And Alan J. All right.
Family of Lee Moore.
The firemen and family affected in Loudoun County, Virginia.
Okay. Family in Loudoun County, Virginia, the firemen family. Any others?
Robin Gregg.
Yes. Okay. Any others?
Also have a praise report. I saw Dave Bernan this Thursday. She walked two sets of 40 steps for a total of 80. She just took some brief break in between. And she was proud of that. So, and her, she'd been getting out, going to the bingo, and they have a church there. She's a little more upbeat.
Amen. Hallelujah. Any others?
Alan Moody,
okay.
Pray for our country.
Let's continue to be thankful for one another, the blessings of God. He's been mighty good to us.
Also, pray for our military.
And our military. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father God, I praise and I worship you, Lord, and as you hear the prayers of your people ascending to heaven this morning, Father, we just pray that you would accept them from the deepest parts of our hearts as we remember those of our interest in our prayers. We're so thankful that we serve a God who not only hears us when we pray, but our God is a God of action. We know you have a plan in place and you're already working through people and organizations to help many of these people who are in need. Those who are sick, the doctors and nurses and facilities, Lord, we just thank you for that. And we're so thankful you have followed us all over the world, all around us, to help us in times of need, that move at your discretion. And we just look to you and honor your name this morning and just thank you for the care that you give to us each and every day, even though many times we don't even realize that you are caring for us and meeting our every need, and giving us this life of abundance that we have through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So bless us today, Lord, as we continue to worship. Bless your people, and may Jesus be magnified in all we do. Amen.
Let's all turn to 143 in our hymnal. Stand and sing the first and the last verses of This Is My Father's World.
Music of the spheres, these to you this morning with your people, Father, your loving and kind people. We just ask at this time that you be with us through this service, Father. This is a service of asking, we receive them, and then give them, Father. We thank you so much for the past weeks, for your presence that's coming into our lives as we open them up. We just ask you, please continue to be with us. We ask this in your name, Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Stand for the doxology, please. Our scripture text today comes in the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 verses 1 through 23. The thought today is to become the person God made you to be. The scripture goes like this: the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" "An enemy has done this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and to pull them up?" "No," he answered. Because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. The weeds that Jesus refers to in this parable, translated tares in some other translations, the word tare, T-A-R-E, in the Greek form, xenonoin. It refers to, in case you don't know what the Greek word is, it refers to a variety of darnel weed that closely resembles wheat. And is almost impossible distinguished from the real wheat before the wheat ripens. As they're growing, the darnel wheat, sometimes called false wheat. And in those days, it was not uncommon for someone out of spite or revenge to sow tares among an enemy's wheat crop. Weeds in a rose garden are easy to spot right away, aren't they? But tares in a wheat field are almost undetectable. The tares would go unnoticed for weeks. When the harvest came up, the tares became evident also. What did this type of sabotage accomplish? It could destroy or at least greatly reduce the value of a farmer's wheat crop. It was done solely out of meanness. It's kind of like people today that create computer viruses, you know, and send those out. They do it for the sake of causing trouble. This tare-sowing type of vandalism was so common in Roman times that they had a specific law against it. So when Jesus told this story, his listeners were quite familiar with the practice. Later in this chapter, Jesus explains the parable. Each element of the parable symbolizes something. So let's listen to what he says in verses 37 through 43. Jesus said, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. And as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all that who do evil. They will be thrown into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Notice how Jesus explains this. He says the sower or the farmer is the Son of Man, the Son of Man being Jesus. The field is the world. So here we're not talking about the church. We're talking about the whole world. That's a pretty big picture, isn't it? If you can picture that. Everybody in the world, the field is the world. The good seed is God's people. The bad seed are the weeds or the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sabotages the field or the whole world is the devil. And the harvest is at the end of the age. Now in this story, Jesus is telling us that in this world there are some people that belong to him. And there are some people who belong to the devil. I don't know if you've run across any or not. But they exist. Sometimes together, side by side. They work together, they live together, and sometimes, I don't know, they might even go to church together. You don't ever know, but the evil ones can't be uprooted now. But at the end of the age, they will be. All those who cause sin and do evil will be separated from God's people forever so that God's people can live out eternity in the light of his kingdom, free from the presence of sin. Now, that ought to be quite a time, hadn't it? So the big idea here is that God's plan is to turn weeds into wheat. We'll talk more about that as we get through here. It's important that we become the people that God created us to be. I don't know about you, but when I leave this world, I want to be where the righteous shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Amen? And in this parable, I think Jesus teaches us how to become the person that God created us to be. Jesus gives us three important truths in life, and we'll nail these down. We'll be well on the way on walking forward with Him in kingdom life. Number one is, the first thing here is, what we need to understand is, weeds are an inescapable fact of life. Years ago, I went out and stood under the barn shelter, and while I was standing there minding my own business, a wasp came seemingly from out of nowhere and hit me on the leg. I didn't realize what had happened until suddenly I felt that sharp pain that comes in one of those wasp attacks. I shook the wasp off, it flew away, and look, I had done nothing to provoke its attack. I had not insulted the wasp or threatened its security in any way. I was just innocently standing there, minding my own business, and for no apparent reason at all, this wasp decided that it wanted to come and cause me pain. I need to say I was annoyed, but I wasn't surprised, because that's what wasps do. They attack people without provocation. They sting. They cause pain. And you know what? Most of the time they get away with it. You know, they just fly right off to look for somebody else to sting, I reckon. But there are a lot of people in the world like that. They're what Jesus referred to as weeds. They attack without warning. They seem to exist just to cause pain in other people's lives. And in the early stages, they may look a lot like wheat, but they do everything that they can to destroy your harvest and to keep you from bearing fruit. And the frustrating truth is that they are an inescapable fact of life. You can't get rid of them. You ever work with someone like that? I think we would move on then. Have you ever been like that? These people are weeds, and they're everywhere. You can't avoid them. They're an inescapable fact of life. It would be nice if you didn't have to put up with them, but that's not an optional option that's available to us. You know, we've been called to go out into the world, not to become like the world, but to go out into the world and carry Jesus to the world. So we're going to be out there with them, right? You know, it'd be nice if you could go to work and do your job without, you know, someone trying to sabotage you or undermine your efforts. It'd be nice if you could just follow Jesus and do the ministries called you to do, and people wouldn't try to sabotage your progress. Just like it'd be nice to go in your backyard without being attacked by a wasp. But life isn't that way, is it? You got to put up with the weeds. So don't be surprised by their presence. When Paul was trying to win the world to Jesus, he had to endure an enormous amount of opposition. Some of it even came from people who claimed to be Christian. They would follow him around and try to stir up trouble wherever he went. They attacked him. They attacked his theology. They challenged his methods. They accused him of preaching a false gospel, and on and on and on down the line. And it's interesting to note that while they were condemning Paul and his preaching, they weren't doing any preaching themselves. They weren't busy winning souls to the kingdom. They weren't doing anything of kingdom value. They were just busy trying to keep Paul from being successful. They were just being weeds. Weeds are an inescapable fact of life. There are people who will try to sabotage your success simply just because they're weeds. And that's what weeds do. So don't be surprised when it happens. An enemy has done this, according to Jesus. Second thing we need to notice is, and I'm speaking to me too, your responsibility, your main responsibility, is to be responsible for yourself. Now, I know none of y'all meddle in anybody else's business. But I need to hit this, all right? The workers of the field asked if they should go pull out the weeds. And what was Jesus' answer? It was pretty simple and straightforward, weren't it? No. And if a wheat kernel had made this same offer to Jesus, I'm pretty sure his answer would have been no. No. Your job is not to spot weeds, to pull weeds, or to burn weeds. Your job and my job is to be what? Wheat. Your job is to be wheat. And your job is to keep growing as wheat until you bear his fruits. Jesus said we're to be a light unto the world. And that's how our light shines among the weeds, when we bear the fruit of wheat. Now, this has come as a surprise to some people, because some people think the Christian life is all about pointing out what everybody else is doing wrong, and to get banners and signs and billboards and to protest everything. But this isn't the case, because we haven't been placed in the field, in the world, to pull weeds. We've been placed there to be wheat. And there's a big difference there. Every time a religious group attempts to go into the weed pulling business, disaster ensues. There are many examples in Christian history, such as the Crusades of the Middle Ages, the Inquisition, the Protestant Reformation, and throughout history, there's so many examples, even from other religions, about this kind of thinking. In fact, I think we see a lot of this happening today. It's caused much of the turmoil of the world that they're currently in is radical religious groups are trying to root out who they consider to be weeds. And in doing so, they're only proving that they themselves are not wheat. In this parable, Jesus is saying that the world is like the farmer's field. Understand this. The world is like the farmer's field. And he is saying that he is the farmer, not us. We aren't the gardeners. Beloved, we're the crop. And we're to be the cream of the crop. Amen? Our first responsibility is to make sure that we make it to the harvest as wheat, the wheat that he created us to be. Now, am I saying that we can't speak out against sin in society or make a bold stand for righteousness or the things of God? No, of course not. We need to be hard on sin, especially our own sin. We need to make a bold stand for holiness, especially our own holiness. And I'll tell you what I've noticed in my life, a principle at work, is the more I'm concerned with the sin of others, the less I'm concerned with my sin. And the more concern I have for my own sin, the less I'm concerned and the less time I have to worry about the sins of others. We need to be hard on sin. Our first responsibility is to be responsible for ourselves. We are not here to be weed pullers. We're here to be wheat. To bear the fruit that identifies us as wheat. You'll know the tree by the fruit it bears, said Jesus. We are to bear the fruit of wheat. And in plain language, that just simply means that our job is to devote our life to becoming like Jesus himself. We're 100% responsible for ourselves. Number three. It's a three-pointer today. I know y'all happy about that. Our true nature eventually becomes evident. Our true nature will eventually come shining through. Ultimately, the wheat proves itself to be wheat. The weed proves itself to be a weed. In the early stages of the process, you can't easily distinguish between the wheat and the tares. But when the harvest rolls around, Jerry, What happens when the harvest rolls around? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? Pretty obvious. Because tares, weeds, don't bear fruit. Huh? Wheat does. And true believers will be identified by the fruit or the grain they produce. Regardless of how much the weed resembles the wheat in the early stages, it's just a weed. And ultimately, it will be obvious. And the same can be said for the wheat. During the early stages, there is no grain in evidence. But the crucial distinction is that the grain eventually gets produced. If you're a weed, eventually it will become obvious. If you're wheat, eventually it will become obvious. So when I read this parable, I can't help but see, and I can't help but ask, and I can't help but wonder, which one am I? Am I wheat? Or am I a weed? Now, there's something that Jesus doesn't specify in this parable, but I can't preach on this subject without mentioning it, and here it is. Without him, we're all weeds. Through him, we can become wheat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why we worship him. That's why we pray to him. That's why we write songs about him. That's why we exalt his name. Because without him, we're nothing. Without him, we're just weeds. The Christian life is not a matter of weeds trying to pretend to be wheat. Christian life is a matter of weeds being transformed into the very nature of God himself. Being transformed into wheat by his mighty power. Being transformed to be just like Jesus. We were all born weeds. But Jesus came to make us all wheat. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to his name. Paul reminds us, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. I'm going to translate that my way. How about that? Listen. Anyone in Christ, he's gone from a weed to wheat. Huh? Oh. A no fruit-bearing weed to an amazing fruit-bearing wheat. The new is here. So the truth is, no matter how weedy your life is or has been, today you can be transformed into wheat. Right now you can begin the process of growing to maturity and bearing the fruit God created you to bear. Well, how am I going to do that, preacher? It's really not hard. It's simple. Surrender your life to him. Just tell him, say, Jesus, just come into my life. Forgive me my sins and make me into a new person. Being a weed ain't too fun. I'm ready to be wheat. I'm tired of being a weed. Change me through and through. Make me wheat. Help me to bear the fruits of righteousness that bring you glory. Help me to turn from my old way, and I give you control of my life today. I'm yours. I belong to you. You're the farmer. And I'm your crop. Do what needs to be done so I can bear your fruit. A simple prayer begins the process of change in your life. This process of becoming fully grown, fully mature, fully developed wheat. Because our true nature will eventually become evident. Oh, beloved, we need Jesus to transform us to be what he created us to be. To give us that nature, to empower us to become what he wants us to be. So in conclusion, in the final judgment, Jesus said the weeds will be separated from the wheat. And I want you to notice something here. That's not our responsibility. That's God's. He's already got that taken care of, so we don't have to worry about that. That's why he told us not to judge. Because he's the judge, the ultimate judge, and he's already got this plan in place. The harvest being at the end of the age, we're not there yet. We don't know when it's going to be, but when the harvest comes, the end of the age, the harvesters, his angels, as the weeds are pulled there and pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age, Jesus said. He said the Son of Man will send out his angels and they will weed out of his kingdom everything. You know what everything means?
Everything.
It means everything. Everything that causes sin and all who do evil. So the weeds are going to get gone. They will throw them into the fire furnace and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So this parable teaches us the importance of becoming the person that God created us to be. Jesus presents us a picture of our place and our purpose in the world. We must ask ourselves, does the world see me as a weed or as wheat? Or a better question might be, how does God see me as a weed or wheat? Our job is to be wheat and to be filled with his fruit. This parable encourages us to examine our hearts and to ensure that our faith is genuinely rooted in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's important we become the people that God created us to be. This can be difficult at times because we live in a world full of weeds. Jesus reminds us that the devil, the enemy, has done this. Don't be surprised this week. Don't be surprised. But always remember, your job is to be wheat. Wheat among the tares. Your job is to keep growing as wheat until you bear the fruit that demonstrates God's kingdom power in the presence of the weeds. Because everything we do is to be about helping people find and follow Jesus. Because Jesus wants to turn weeds into wheat. And ultimately, the wheat proves itself to be wheat, and the weed proves itself to be a weed. And so it's important that we not only know Jesus, but that we represent him to the world. Become the person God created you to be. Give your heart to Jesus. Move forward with him in the great work of his kingdom. Father, we thank you today for your word. And the perspective you give on the world and how you've placed us in it to be your representatives. Help us to do your works. Help us to be a fruitful crop in the farmer's field. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all turn to hymn number 488, stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Just As I Am.
again, we thank you all for being present today, bringing the spirit of worship. May the Lord go with you this week as we go out into the world and be what he created us to be. Anybody have anything to say before we leave?
Yes, and I will keep hounding you. Remember the sign up for the lead day of prayer is right here. There are several places that are empty in the afternoon. And if you look at it, you will see that you may be signed up at the time that somebody else is signed up. That's fine. The church is big enough. You can find a quiet place to pray. It's February 29th, the Thursday. That's leap day. And there are a few slots left. But as I said, if you want to come and there's somebody at a slot you want, sign up. Nobody's going to bother you as you pray. I hope you have prayed about it and that you will be part of this. I think this is an exciting thing that we all get together and have a day of prayer. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Anyone else?
Oh.
All right.
The front door is the only door that will be open, so if you happen to be here by yourself, you won't have to worry about somebody coming in at another door. So.
Okay. Everybody ready to go? Ready to go out there and check them weeds out of it? Don't be a weed, all right? All right. Let's bow our heads and be dismissed. Lord, you've been good to us, and we want to unify our hearts right now together as your people as we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.